have a school-aged son, you might want to stop a moment to consider this. Girls outperform boys in grades at all levels. Yeah, girls. And not just in the U.S., but countries around the world, from the U.K. to Hong Kong. That's part of the latest data from an analysis by the American Psychological Association of a University of New Brunswick study on gender differences. Those differences have turned attention back to boys, including in Honolulu. Paul Burgess is the director of St. Andrew's Preparatory School for Boys, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, Bethann. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to talk to you. We talk about boys and girls, you know, but looking at these gender differences, and have done that for quite some time. A lot of the experts on boys are saying that, you know, we spent so much time diverting our attention to deficits with girls, or what we thought were deficits with girls, that we completely forgot the boys.
Yeah.
And now we have a lot of ground to make up for
that. Sure, sure. Well, and I think that focus with the girls, you know, the consequence of that was an environment that was really conducive for girls more so than boys.
You're talking about in the classroom or the classroom, school setting in general?
Yeah, well, I think everything. Outside at recess, in the classroom environment, boys tend to be really active. And just the way they play can be aggressive. And I think it can be overwhelming for girls at times. And so some of the policies put in place, you know, look at academic approach and even play policy, I think had changed a lot in the 80s and 90s. And unfortunately for boys, it wasn't conducive to how they develop and how they learn and how they grow. And so after looking at the research, we realized there's really a need out there to help boys. You've talked about some of the statistics. And boys, we found that through the research, boys fall behind, especially in the elementary age, school age years. So by fourth grade, that's where that big gap, especially in reading, occurs. So kids learn when they're engaged, when they're having fun, when they're enjoying school.
And a lot of boys are kinesthetic learners anyway.
Absolutely.
They need to be moving and standing, which is why some of the best brain guys have said, you know, those desks that you stick them in, not such a good idea.
Yeah, so if you come to our classroom, that's one thing you will not see. Desks and students sitting in one place for a very long period of time. Now, of course, that is part of school. So we do have moments where the boys understand time and place where we do need to sit. For instance, chapel, we have chapel once a week. But as far as learning, we need boys to collaborate. We need boys to be curious. We need boys to understand their own interests and passions. And that takes interacting with others.
But don't they kind of do that anyway? I mean, we've seen how, you know, guys get together and work on a project or just seem interested.
Sure.
Or the way guys used to go off and play. I mean, there have been some, you know, lovely shows where we've seen that and what childhood kind of used to be compared to what childhood is now.
Right.
But the real essence of a lot of the criticism is that we've tried to make classrooms fit the way, you know, girls learn, and that we've moved from the needs of one sex and disadvantaging the other, whichever way you go.
Yeah.
But yet we still have, Paul, this same stereotype that persists that, you know, boys are much better in science and math,
and
girls are much better with language arts.
Right.
And that's simply not true when you look at 100 years' worth of data,
as
this study has.
Right. Well, and back on that point, you talked about the fact that students are having to sit in these environments that are conducive for girls. Where's the collaboration going on there? Where is the teamwork involved? Where is the, you know, we have an EDP process with the school, which engineering design process, where you know, we're teaching students to identify a problem, collaborate to make kind of a plan to approach it, and then try it and then retest it. I mean, that happens when students can move and engage and do those things. So I think, again, the traditional system doesn't allow for that. And so we're changing that aspect of it. And then also, you look at the amount of recess that's been cut to, you know, academically focus these students, which is just developmentally, it's a hazard. Play is where you find students getting that foundation to be successful students, interpersonal skills, risk-taking skills, resilience, communication, all of these things that are truly important for kids to learn to be successful adults, we're taking that away. We're taking that away because we're so worried about how these kids are going to look academically. So we're pushing it down to lower and lower grades, and that's having a consequence because it's not developmentally appropriate, and especially for boys, because not only are we pushing the academics down, we're also putting them in an environment that really is like a prison for them. It's frustrating to be in that environment and then being asked to do things you can't relate to.
We've heard from experts who solely focus on boys, Michael Gurian we've talked to, and to Leonard Sachs when he was here last year, Michael Thompson, all of them that have been saying that, you know, we know this stuff, we've known it for a very long time now, but the schools are very slow to catch up and actually do that. And you have so much pressure, as you've just mentioned, academically, and that's tied to money, and that's tied to all kinds of things, that we are disadvantaging our children. How do we stop doing that now when you have the situation that we're looking at in Hawaii, aside from saying, I'm going to take my kid out of public school and stick him into private school?
Right. I think...
I mean, what can a parent do? Because not everybody can put their kid into a single-sex school.
Well, the fantastic thing is, in no way am I an expert on just the background with this research, but the fact is that the experts have found the information for us. I mean, there's definitely enough information. If we educate ourselves on this, it's a clear sign that things need to change. Now, at St. Andrews, we've realized this, and we're moving that way. So it's really a big part of it is educating parents, getting them to understand that their intuitions aren't always the best thing to be guiding our kids with. You know, we need to actually look at how do kids actually grow? What do we know? It may feel uncomfortable, but until we try it.
But you're talking about specifically, you know, for parents of boys, because when you have a teacher telling you, well, your son wants to get up and walk around all the time, or when, you know, parents can make lists longer than we even have time to talk about now. But for a lot of parents who are looking at this data and saying, wait a minute, I'm showing this to my teacher, I'm showing this to my school, and they don't seem to be taking notice of it. What can a parent do?
Bring them to the prep. I mean, that's not our approach, exactly what you're talking about.
No, but they can't. But my point is that for a parent who cannot possibly take a child out of public school and pop them into
a private
boys'
school. Yeah, absolutely. That
because
the
they think that might be better for the child. And instead are trying to make these points to the public school.
Right.
I mean, what else can
can they do
if it falls on deaf ears?
Yeah. You know, and this is something Michael Thompson shared when he came to the school. Don't let your child be a child. Let them know what their passions are, and their skill strengths and their weaknesses. And that's allowing them. You need to allow students and your child to really choose activities they want to belong to. One thing, again, Michael Thompson said, why are we having kids doing hours of tutoring on weekends we want, in good intentions, to get academics going, but this shuts them off from school. I mean, this is a time for them to be finding out about themselves and what they're doing. So a few things is allowing kids to play, allowing kids to be creative, and giving them that space when you do have them at home, where you can actually start applying some of the research that we've seen yourselves at home. So
what you're really saying is that the parents need to pick up the ball and to create spaces for boys to be boys.
Yeah.
And let them choose some activities and not do a lot of activities that are academically oriented when they maybe should be playing.
Yeah, exactly. If you look just... biologically, that's how we've developed for a long time, boys. Traditionally, hunter-gatherer communities, boys learn by the adults modeling and then the boys trying what the adults are doing in play, having debates, playing different games, testing the skills of what they'll need to be successful. And so really the fear that kids don't know... kids won't be able to educate themselves or motivate themselves to learn. I think that's a fallacy. We've got to, get corrected, I think so.
So you're really saying if we're able to engage a boy at the level
find what he's
of
interested
interest,
in, and then support that. Support his energy, support his interests, find creative ways to get those academic strengths you want to apply to boys, really with them taking the lead. You're facilitating their education. And then they learn to be a lifelong learner. And that's really what it's about.
Which could be a little bit tougher for some helicopter parents, but you're saying back off.
Yeah, absolutely, Bethann.
All right, we're going to leave it there for a moment, but we'll have a town square about the differences of in gender pretty soon. We'll have to bring everybody back and have a conversation.
Yeah,
thanks. Seems like it's time for those again.
A lot more to talk about.
Paul Burgess is the director of St. Andrew's Preparatory School for Boys.